You are listening to Huda Recordings.
The next chapter that we come to is the chapter of honoring the guest, Ikram al-Dayf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as is recorded to us by Imam al-Nawawi, Allah says in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الْمُكْرَمِينَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكِرُونَ فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 24 to 28, Allah just gives us the story and the example of Abraham. Allah says, has the story reached you of the honored guests, the three angels, Jibreel and along with him were two others, who came to Ibrahim? When they came to him and they said, As-salam, meaning peace be to you, he answered them, peace be back to you, and said, you are people unknown to me. He did not recognize them. Then he turned to his household and brought out a roasted calf, as the property of Ibrahim was mainly cows, and placed it before them, saying, will you not eat? Here we see the type of interchange between Ibrahim and people he did not recognize. The angels, they came in the form of human beings. So Ibrahim saw these people, and they greeted him with salam. And therefore it becomes an obligation upon the one who visits to greet salam. And we know from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that the one who is walking is to give the salam to those who are sitting. And those who are standing are to give salam to those who are sitting. And those who are standing, those who are walking by them, are to give them the salam. We also know from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that the man is not to begin the salam to a woman if she is alone. Rather, she is the one who begins the salam to him. Never did the Prophet ﷺ engage a woman and say assalamu alaikum to her unless she had begun it, unless she was accompanied by her mahram, and the Prophet would give the salam to the both of them. We also know that from the sunnah of the salam is that we use the words of Islam. So we do not meet other Muslims and we say, hi, or how are you? Rather, we say, assalamu alaykum, as was the manner of the Prophet ﷺ. And we know for saying, assalamu alaykum, we get 10 rewards. Wa rahmatullah, we get another 10 hasanat. Wa barakatuh, we get another 10 hasanat. And this was explicitly directed to us by the Prophet ﷺ, that people, when they entered, one of them said, assalamu alaykum, the Prophet said 10. And another entered and said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, the Prophet said 20. And another person entered and he said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the Prophet said 30. So this is from the known etiquettes of Islam. And it is also known to be the etiquette of those who return the salam to return that which is equal to it or better than it. فَرَضُّوهُ بِمِثْلِهَا وَأَحْسَنَ. Return the salam, that which is equal to it or better than it. So therefore we see that Ibrahim, when they said السلام عليكم to him, he said, قَالَ سَلَامًا. He said to them, salam be back to you. So if someone says السلام عليكم to you, you say وعليكم السلام. If someone says السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, you cannot simply merely say السلام عليكم. You must equally also return the same level by saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and you may increase it to assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we see Ibrahim return the salam, and then we know that Ibrahim did not recognize the three individuals who came to meet him, but yet he still went to his family. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ. So he turned to his household, meaning his wife, who had been preparing the meal. فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. He came to them with a roasted calf. He came to them with food. Although they are people he doesn't really recognize, he entered them into his home and he began to place the food before them, saying, why do you not eat? Why do you not partake from my hospitality? And therefore we know from the sunnah also of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, never was he offered anything as a gift, except that he would accept it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And never was food placed in front of him, except that he would eat something from it. And if he did not like the type of food, he wouldn't say, I do not like it. He just would not partake from eating it. So it's important that we learn some of these manners as is found in the stories of the prophets. The next ayah we see,
وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِهُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِي أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ.
The next verse quoted to us is the story of Sayyidina Lut, or Prophet Lot. Allah says, as is in Surah Hud, verse number 78, and his people, meaning the people of Lut, came rushing towards him. Meaning these people were the people of sin, who were known to be, as is in, found in biblical terms, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, who were known to be homosexuals, who were known to be thieves, who were known to be adulterers. They came rushing towards him. And since aforetime they used to commit crimes, sodomy and incest, he said to them, O my people, here are my daughters, women of the nation that you are to marry. They are purer for you if you marry them lawfully. So fear Allah and do not disgrace me with regards to my guests. Is there not among you a single right-minded man?
This is an important also discussion. We see that Lut sought to defend and protect his guests. And this is also from the important manners of Al-Islam.
A person, when he enters into your home, he becomes a part of your people and a part of your tribe and a part of your family. And therefore he deserves as much rights as you would allocate to members of your family if you have brought him into your home or into your land or into your peoples. Here we see the story of Lut, which is an interesting story. Lut was sent to people, and Lut was the cousin of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was sent to a people who had many deviant attributes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says from the crimes of the people of Lut was that they were homosexuals and they were lesbians, the women with the women and the men with the men. They were people who do not trim their nails. The men used to shave their beards and grow their mustaches. And all of these were some of the things that were mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. They were known to commit incest. The father with his sons and with his daughters. And the mother with her sons and with her daughters. All of these were crimes that were known to these people. And Allah sent Lut to them, and he was a person who they approved, who they appreciated as being tahir, or purified. And yet they hated him for this, for his purity. And the purity of his daughters, who he would only give to those who would marry them and would not commit the act of the people of sin. So they come to him rushing, wanting to see who his guests were, who were angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to later on destroy the people of this tribe. And when they came, they said, let us have the men that are in your home. They wanted to commit and defile them with their evil, depraved deeds. But he refused and he said, do not disgrace me in front of my guests. Is there not from you a man who is Rashid, who is right-minded, who has good character and good nobility? The hadith that we have before us now is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as is reported by Abi Hurairah, and the hadith is agreed upon, من كان يؤمن بالله وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Let the one who believes in Allah and the last day, that he must not harm his neighbor. That the one who believes in Allah and the final day, that he is to show hospitality to his guest. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَصِرْ رَحِمَهُ. The one who believes in Allah and the final day, that he should not cut off those who are kith and kin from his family, his cousins, his aunts, his sisters, his brothers, and so forth. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُقْ. And let the one who believes in Allah in the final day speak good words or let him remain silent. This is an important hadith from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. In it gathered three important distinct characteristics
of those who have unwavering faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet says, the one who believes in Allah, meaning truly believes in Allah and in the final day, وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that he does not harm his neighbor, that he shows hospitality to his guest. And hospitality is of varying levels. The hospitality that is to be extended is that for the one day and the one night that you have a guest who comes to your home, you are to allocate and give to him as much as you can in terms of food, accommodation, place to sleep, and so forth. This is a right that every Muslim has over another Muslim, that he can come and partake in your home if you do not feel danger from him. And you are to be courteous and hospitable to him. And the person should not stay more than 3 days. Anything more than 3 days, then the owner of the home can ask him to leave, or he may give it as a charity to him to allow him to stay. فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَ. And the ضِيَافَ is of numerous ways. It can be in terms of food, it can be in terms of accommodation, it can be in terms of wealth, it can be in terms of spending good leisure time with him, with sightseeing and so forth. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمًا. The one who believes in Allah on the final day, let him be sure to keep the ties of kinship, the ties of his kith and his kin, his family. We know the Prophet ﷺ, he advises that we are to keep the tie of those who try to break it from us. So for example, if you haven't been speaking with your sister or with your brother, you and it's because they have cut the ties with you, you should make all the attempts that is in within your power to reattach these ties. Not because you are in need of them or because you are particularly seeking to be in their company, but only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the rahim, the womb, is something that is dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ties of the womb are dear to Allah. And therefore we should be very careful in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having good family relations with those who are in and around our immediate family. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. That he who believes in Allah in the final day, let him only speak good words or let him remain silent. Speaking good words, my brothers and sisters, is an important quality. Speaking good and saying good to people is that which is in accordance to the dictates of Islam. Anything that contradicts the words of Islam or the attributes of Islam or the manners of Islam is other than good. And anything that is other than good goes against the opinions and the comments of Islam. So we should be from those who seek to only speak good words or to remain silent. And remaining silent is also an action of righteousness. It is also an action of righteousness that a person holds back his feelings because he does not feel that if he speaks, he will be just in his words and so forth. The next hadith is from Abi Shuraih Khuwaylid bin Amr al-Khuza'i radiyallahu anhu. He says, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. I heard the Messenger of Allah saying, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه جائزته. Let the one who believes in Allah on the final day, let him give the right to his guest. Let him show respect and respect the rights of the guest. They said, what is the rights of the guest, O Messenger of Allah? He said, يَوْمُهُ وَلَيْلَتَهُ وَالضِّيَافَةُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ فَمَا كَانَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَةٌ عَلَيْهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, the right of every person over his brother, it is that to serve him the best that one has for a period of one day and one night, and to show him hospitality, to extend it to him for 3 days, that you give him accommodations and you extend some sort of hospitality. And whatever is beyond that, then it is a form of charity that you are giving to him. And this is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. In the narration of Al-Imam Muslim, the Prophet is heard to have said, لا يحل لمسلم أن يقيم عند أخيه حتى يؤثمه. it is not permitted for a person to remain with his brother and cause him to commit sin. They said, how is the person going to be led to commit sin, O Messenger of Allah? How can I make a person commit sin? So the Prophet ﷺ said, يُقِيمَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ لَهُ, to remain with him and the person no longer has anything left to offer him in hospitality. Meaning that you overstay your welcome. They may have limited resources or limited amount of food or drink or whatever it may be. So you stay. And once that's finished, you continue staying. So now it's something that places in their heart contempt for you, or it causes them to be sinful because they are not fulfilling the duty that you are deserving to receive from them. So it shows us that we cannot just claim the right and say, you knock at someone's door and say, I'm coming to stay with you for one day and one night. No, this is not what is meant by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not lead people to have hatred in their hearts for us, for whatever reason that may result from this. The next discussion that we are going to have is regarding to conveying glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Az-Zumur, verse 17 and 18, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. So announce the good news to my slaves, those who listen to the word, the good advice of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and follow the best of it, meaning by worshipping Allah, and avoid committing sin. We know the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We sent you, O Muhammad, as a bearer of good news, as well as a warner. And therefore it is important when you are calling people to Islam, or whenever you're correcting others, or you are trying to be of inspiration, that you are from those who give people good news. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Give people good news and do not drive them away from you. So this is an important ayah. Also Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 21, يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرِضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّةٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. Their Lord gives them glad tidings of mercy from Him, and that He is pleased with them, and of gardens of paradise for them therein are everlasting delights. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers bushra. He gives this bushra to give us hope and to give us notation of His mercy, that we are to expect it and to be happy to turn and to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Verse number 30 in Surah Fussilat, we see that also the angels give glad tidings to the believers at the moments of their death. The angels shall say, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and receive glad tidings of the Jannah, that which you have been promised. بِمَا الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Also we know that Allah would give bushra regarding the new son, or the forbearing of joy of a new boy, as is found in the story of Ibrahim in Surah As-Saffat, verse 101. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. And Allah mentions in Surah Hud, verse number 69, and verily there came our messengers, the angels, to Ibrahim with glad tidings to him. And also Allah says, وَامْرَأَتَهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِقَتْ فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقٍ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقٍ يَعْقُوبٍ. And his wife, the wife of Ibrahim, was standing there, and she laughed when she heard that she would be carrying a child, because the messengers did not eat their food, and for being glad for the destruction of the people of Lut. But we gave her glad tidings of Ishaq, and after Ishaq, the next child was to be from her, Ya'qub. So we know that the Prophet ﷺ was given this advice by Allah in numerous places, that he is to be a bearer of good news. From these are many ahadith regarding this. Of them is the authentic hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet would give glad tidings to Khadija, his own wife. So the Prophet says, as is narrated, the Prophet ﷺ says, that he gave bushra, he gave glad tidings to Khadija radiallahu anha, bibaytin fil jannati min qasab, that she will have a palace of a hollowed pearl in paradise. La sakhab fihi wa la nasab. In this agreed upon hadith, the Prophet continued by saying, in this place in paradise, in the palace that she will have what will be free of noise and toil. She won't be in a state of hardship or overworked or anything of this nature. So these are just a few ahadith regarding this action of giving people good news. And in our time, giving good news is by mentioning the delights that Allah has set in store for the believers, and mentioning the mercy and the tranquility that Allah can descend upon a person, mentioning the great attributes of the Prophet ﷺ and his sunnah, teaching us the mercy that Allah had placed in his heart that he had towards his ummah. So it is something that gives us reassurance in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in our dedication to him. And this is where we will conclude our discussion with you. We will leave the floor open for questions for the next 5 minutes, inshallah. So if the sisters in Houston have a question, they may ask. Or if the sisters in the back have a question, they may also ask, inshallah. One of the sisters from Houston is asking a good question. She says, you mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, speak good words or remain silent. But we know that at times when a person is oppressed, he feels that he needs to make a complaint. So where do we draw the line of speaking good? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an the story of Yusuf. And in that story we see the complaint of the father of Yusuf. So you turn to Allah in dua and you complain to him. You say, oh Allah, please, oh Allah, and you make dua in this manner. The second form of complaint is to complain about Allah. So you will say to yourself, why am I in this situation? I don't deserve this. So you are making a complaint about the condition that you might have been a catalyst in, that you may take as being a sign that the qada and the qadr that Allah has written for you at this time, that you are in control in the matters of how to deal with it, that you are dissatisfied by what Allah has decreed. So that is improper. As for complaining to other human beings by, for example, the sister gives the example of a mother-in-law who's harsh or difficult to deal with. We know that the Prophet ﷺ, from the varying ahadith and different verdicts of the scholars, has allowed a person to mention another person in complaint if he is asking for nasiha, for advice, how to deal with a situation. Or if he's asking about the legality of the issue, meaning, can my mother-in-law force me to do this or to say that? All of these are things that are not deemed improper. So this is something that you can deal with and ask, inshallah ta'ala. So that is not what is deemed by speaking only good words. To speak evil words, the murad of the hadith, the intended meaning of the hadith, is that you speak good about people who you are not in dispute with due to a case that you have that is ongoing. You're not asking about them. It is that you are sitting with your friends or whomever, and for no good reason, you speak about a person or you speak about an instance or a situation without proper regard and without proper words. So this is what is meant as being, this is the murad of speaking good words or to remain silent. The next question from the sisters, my question is regarding Muslims with psychological or mental disorders. If a Muslim is born or later on in his and her life, they get a mental disorder and is unable to practice Islam, are they held responsible for not practicing and committing sin? Or does Allah look past that and give them heaven? Or are they just held responsible for time before the mental disorder? Please elaborate. We know that mental disorder is not a strange phenomenon. It is something that it has now become common. In fact, that they say that there aren't just millions of people, there aren't just hundreds of people or thousands of people or even hundreds of thousands of people who suffer from clinical mental disorders such as depression and so forth. Rather, there are millions of people in America and in Canada and in Western countries and in non-Western countries who suffer from these disorders. But the point regarding a mental disorder, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know the Prophet says to us, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ, the pen is raised, meaning that the person's actions are not written for him in these circumstances. One of them is a person who is in a state of insanity, meaning that he does not understand what it is that he's doing. So this is what is meant by a person with a mental disorder that he will not be held accountable. A person who does not understand what he is doing. He doesn't understand that he has to pray. He doesn't understand the necessity of prayer. He doesn't understand that committing such a crime is sinful or that it is wrong. So therefore, those type of mental disorders, the person, the individual, is left to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot say that Allah looks past and gives them heaven directly, and we cannot equally say at the same time that they are held responsible. Rather, it is something that Allah is the one who will measure people in accordance to their capabilities and their cognitive responses. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ظلم اليوم, He does not oppress, and on the day of judgment, shall not oppress anyone. As well, for mental disorders, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at his time, there were people who did suffer from it, and who suffered from as-sara and suffered from other issues. And they even, and you can even see that the mushrikeen, when the Prophet emerged with the da'wah of Islam, they claimed that he was a person who was suffering from mental illness. So they called him majnoon, majnoon and wastuhir. He is a person who is in a state of mental illness and has been and is lying to us as a result to it. So a person who is in a state of mental illness, if the illness is something that clouds his mind so he cannot understand and has lost his ability to reason and to understand the obligations that have been placed upon him and the prohibitions that have been placed upon him or her, then they will not be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are less than this, they are accounted for by Allah with His mercy and in the measure that Allah so chooses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can withstand. The next question is written in the Al-Lugha Al-Arabiyya. We wish for you to clarify this following concept, which is to be hospitable to the day, to the guest. هَلْ مِنَ الْوَاجِبِ Is it compulsory for the Muslim that he goes to another Muslim, that he is allowed to visit him and remain with him for a night stay? If a person, so the sister is asking, if a person was to come and to be visiting someone, does he have the right to go to a person's house and stay at him for that one night? Or if he recognizes that the person is incapable of this, does it become an obligation upon him to find his own accommodations and so forth? If a person sees that they cannot fulfill the obligation of being hospitable, then they may mention to the brother, there is someone else who can give you accommodation. The person who is coming doesn't know the reality or the extent of the person he's visiting. So therefore, the one who is owning the home, the one who is being visited, يجب عليه أن يوضح الأمر. فيقول يا أخي لا أجد, I don't have what I can support you with, or that I don't have a room for you to stay in, or that I don't have a place for you to be with me in the home. وَيُوَضَّحْ لَهُ الْأَمْرِ And once the case has been made, then it becomes wajib upon the person who is visiting. عَلَى الزَّائِرْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَجِدْ مَكَانْ آخَرْ That he looks and searches for a different Muslim or a different brother or a different set of accommodations that he finds. وَلَا حَرَجَ فِي ذَلِكَ And this was something that was done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in things that are greater than this. The Sahaba, they would come to him on the day when they wanted to go to the jihad, and the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ I don't have what I can carry you with me. The Prophet ﷺ didn't just say, just come. كَلَّا فَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا So if a person does not have الْإِمْكَان, مَنْ لَمْ يَجِدَ الْإِمْكَان فَيُوَضَّحِ الْأَمْرِ وَإِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا Are there any other questions from... The sister is asking, if a person, if you know he is coming to visit your particular city, should you be the one who volunteers to invite them to your home, or you should you let them choose what accommodation that they will? If you feel that you are capable of hosting them in your home, you have the istita'a that they can come and they would have the same level of comfort, they have their own place,
They won't be involved in sharing facilities that may make ihraj, meaning that the Muslim, the husband, he has to go out for work and he will leave his wife, and maybe the person there, he hasn't yet woken up and he's a man. This is something that would cause friction. If you have room for the person, then yes, you may offer. But if you do not, then you allow them to offer al-badil, what is best in that regard. So that is the best way of dealing with these issues. So it should be something that is comfortable for both sets of people, the zair and the one who is being visited, insha'Allah ta'ala. This is where we will conclude our discussion. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Huda Recordings.
We are beginning with the chapter of bidding farewell and advising on the eve of departure for a journey and other good things of this nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the advice of Ibrahim to his sons and to his lineage, as is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 132 and verse 133. And this meaning and this submission to Allah, this religion of Islam, was enjoined by Ibrahim upon his sons and to Yaqub, Jacob, by saying to them, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion. Inna Allah hastafa lakum ad-deen. And therefore do not die unless you are, or except unless you are in the state of al-Islam. Illa wa antum muslimun. Am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara Yaqub al-maut, idh qala libanihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di, qalu na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha abaika Ibrahima wa Ismaila wa Ishaq, ilahan wahidan wa nahnu lahu muslimun. And in the next passage we see that the message that was delivered to Yaqub and the children of Ibrahim, that Yaqub learned the lesson well. We see, as Allah mentions in these verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 132 and verse 133, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or were you witnesses upon the death, and or when death approached Yaqub, Jacob, when he said unto his sons, what will you worship after me? So they said to him, we shall worship your ilah, your God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilah, the God of your fathers Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. One ilah, it is one God who is worthy of worship, to him we submit in Islam. We're going to pause with this verse before looking at the hadith, because it is an important set of verses, an important passage in the Quran. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam gave sincere advice and enjoined upon his sons and Yaqub that they are to hold onto Islam, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first lesson that we extract from this is that Ibrahim did not follow the example of his father. His father was a person who would not accept in the faith of al-Islam. Here Ibrahim wishes to show the difference that he has by being a true father, by leaving behind a legacy and a word of truth to his sons, and to enjoin it upon them and to ensure that they understand its gravity and importance. وَوَصَّى بِهَا Ibrahim. So Ibrahim gave it as an advice and as a legacy to them. This also shows us, secondly, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was not just conscious of his own self. As Muslims, we never turn to ourselves and say, as long as I am good, I don't have to worry about anyone else. And there is a mistaken understanding of an important ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, regarding those who believe, give the call to Allah, La yadurrukum man dalla in ihtadaytum. Allah shall not harm you, you won't receive harm if
you yourselves are guided, you won't be harmed by those who are not in a state of guidance. This ayah has been misunderstood by people saying, well, as long as I understand my religion, and as long as I implement it, I won't be harmed by those who reject. And this, in fact, is the outward meaning of the ayah, but the inner true meaning is that you will not be harmed if you are from those who have given the advice to the people to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after you give the advice to them, and then they reject it, then you have fulfilled your duty in Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As here we see the example of Ibrahim with his children and Ya'qub. He says, Ya baniya inna Allah hastafa lakum ad-deen. My children, my sons, Allah has chosen for you. And this is an important word, istafa lakum. Allah has chosen for you. It's not Ibrahim who chose. It is not even they who chose. Allah has chosen for you the true religion. Therefore, do not die unless you are in the state of submission, Islam, to Him. Then Allah continues by showing us that the lesson was learned by His children. Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut. Were you witnesses when the death approached Ya'qub, Jacob? When he said to his sons, and meaning he learned the lesson of Ibrahim, now upon his death, he turns to his own children. And he asks them a question. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Tell me, when I depart, who is it that you will be in the worship and servitude of? What will you worship after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ. They said, we shall worship your ilah. And this word ilah is important. They didn't say your Lord or your Rabb. They said your ilah. And we know that in Islam that the levels of Tawheed are three, and they are all in unison, in existence together. We recognize that Allah huwa Rabb, and that is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that Allah is the Lord. And the word Lord doesn't really represent the gravity and the importance of the word Rabb. But the word Ar-Rabb means the one who creates, the one who sustains, the one who began, and the one who shall bring things to an end. It is all of the definitive characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that prove to us that He is in control of everything. So Allah is the Rabb. But at the same time, it is insignificant to just believe and simply believe without carrying your belief further to recognize that this one true Rabb is also the only one who is worthy of worship. And therefore comes the uluhiyyah, the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only ilah to be worshipped. So they use the word and they say, we shall worship your ilah, your God, the God that you worship, meaning the only one that you have shown us and proven to us by His words, for you are a prophet of Allah, the only one that we are to worship and turn to in worship. Wa ilaha abaika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq. As well, we will worship this same God who was the Lord and the God of Ibrahim, your father, and Ismail, and Ishaq, the one ilah, ilahan wahida, the one ilah, and to him we submit, wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and to him we turn to Allah in submission in the state of Islam. So we learn that it is important to advise one another. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Surely by the end of time that people are at a loss, except for those who believe in Allah and those who advise one another and call one another to have patience and call one another to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who make tawasi, who advise and enjoin upon one another and call one another to the truth. So it is important for us to follow in this example of Ibrahim and Ya'qub and the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we shall see in this hadith narrated by Yazid, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama rasulullah fina khatiban. The Prophet stood up one day amongst the Sahaba to admonish them, to give them to a lecture. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ. So he began with the praise of Allah. And therefore it becomes a sunnah and an obligation upon the one who is advising people
to always begin by saying Alhamdulillah, or specifically Khutbat al-Haja, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu ila al-akhir. Wa afna alayhi, he praised Allah and he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa wa'ad wa dhakar, and he gave us an admonition, he admonished us, and he gave us a fitting reminder. He gave us a fitting reminder and exhorted us to do good things. Thumma qal amma ba'd. Then the Prophet said, amma ba'd. And this term, or what can be translated to mean after this, or as to what follows, this is also deemed a sunnah for the person who is giving a khutbah. He said, amma ba'd, ala ayyuhan nas, surely O people, innama ana basharun, surely I am just a human being. Yushiku an ya'ti rasul rabbi fa'ujib. Soon there shall come to me a messenger from my Lord, calling me back to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will have to respond to Allah's call. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ was telling them that sooner or later, I being a human being shall depart from this worldly life and shall turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَا تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ ثَقَلَيْنَ, and I am leaving behind with you two weighty, important things. Two things that are of immense weight and of immense importance. أَوَّلُهُمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, the first of them is the words that are found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِيهِ الْهُدَى وَالنُّورِ, in the book of Allah, there is the guidance and there is the enlightenment. And these two terms are important terms, for we know that the Qur'an has been given numerous names. It is Al-Qur'an, it is Kitabullah, it is Al-Furqan, it is Al-Nur, it is also Al-Huda. All of these are terms that were used to describe the Qur'an. And we know that in the Arabic language, from the types of Balagha, is to use numerous descriptive terms and names to indicate the importance of that which is being described. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet here shows, has given the Qur'an numerous terms and numerous titles and names. فَخُذُوا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, then the Prophet said, make sure that you take and that you hold on to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it and adhere to it. And then he continued, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسْتَمْسِكُوا بِهِ, hold on to it, cling on to it, for it is something of importance. فَحَثَّ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, so he continued to admonish us that we are to hold on to the book of Allah. And he gave us targhib, and he invited us to make sure that it is something that we cling to. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begin by stressing the book of Allah? The book of Allah, my brothers and sisters, it is what contains the essence of the whole of the religion. Meaning in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find the laws of al-Islam. You find the obligations. You find the descriptions that lead one to have a strength in his faith and in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In it is all that a Muslim needs, along with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That which leads us to implement the Qur'an as it was first sent and initially intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be practiced. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَهْلُ بَيْتِي, and I also leave behind for you the second thing, are the members of my household. أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهِ, I remind you by Allah to be dutiful and to take care and to cling with the people of my household. This is an important hadith reported by Imam Muslim. Why does the Prophet ﷺ mention the fame and advise us to hold on to his family? We know first from the scholars of hadith who have given explanations of this hadith, that first we see that the most intimate people who knew the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ were those who were from his family. The likes of his daughters, the likes of his wives, the likes of his cousin Ali radiallahu anhu, and his children Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. These were the people who had unrestricted access to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet isn't just saying, hold on to my family, as meaning anyone who is from my family. For we know that there were people from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had not entered into al-Islam, who that we are not required to hold on to. We also know, as the scholars explained to us this hadith, that the ahlu of the bayt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are those who from their lineage shall be those who will be the rulers of the Muslims in later days, such as al-Mahdi, who shall be from the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the lineage of Ali and Fatima. And we see that this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indirectly advising us to take hold of. The next hadith is the hadith of Malik. He reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, atayna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa nahnu shabab, and we were in a state of youthfulness, mutaqarabun, and we were similar in age. فَأَقَمْنَا عِنْدَهُ عِشْرِينَ لَيْلَةً. So we stayed in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 20 nights. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَحِيمًا رَفِيقًا. They say that we saw that in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was extremely kind and considerate. He was rahim, he was very merciful to us, and he was rafiq, he was very soft and lenient and considerate in dealing with us. فَظَنَّا أَنَّا قَدْ اشْتَقْنَا لِأَهْلِنَا. He saw in us that we had now, after these 20 days of being with him, that we have begun and to miss our families. We became homesick. He saw in us, in our demeanor, that we wanted to return to our families. So he began to ask us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عَمَّنْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْ أَهْلِنَا. So he asked us about who we had left behind when we came to pay him this visit, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ فَقَالَ. So we told them that we had left behind this person from our family and so forth. فَقَالَ إِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيكُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا فِيهُمْ. Return to your families and stay with them. وَعَلِّمُوهُمْ وَمُرُوهُمْ. And stay with them and teach them about Islam and exhort them to do righteous deeds. وَصَلُّوا صَلَاتِ, and pray as if as you see me pray. وَصَلُّوا صَلَاتِ كَذَا فِي حِينَ كَذَا, and pray the way you see me pray, and also pray at this time this particular prayer. وَصَلُّوا كَذَا فِي حِينِ كَذَا, and pray when this time comes this prayer. فَإِذَا حَضِرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ لَكُمْ أَحَدَكُمْ, and when the time of prayer comes, let one of you make the adhan. وَلْيَأُمَّكُمْ أَكْبَرُكُمْ, and let the one of you who is oldest be the one who leads you in the prayer. This is an authentic hadith narrated by both Al-Imam Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Here we see important lessons from this. We see first the obligation of a person who is seeking to learn about Islam to travel to extract and learn knowledge. We see these shabab who came to the Prophet, Malik ibn Huwayritha and others, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they came to him seeking knowledge, and they remained with him for a period of time. So they stayed with him only for 20 days, and they noticed not just the words that he was giving them. The first description they described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, they didn't say he taught us how to pray, he taught us how to fast, he taught us how to do this. The first lesson they extracted from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَحِيمًا رَفِيقًا. He was kind and considerate. That was the most telling lesson and the most important attribute that they took from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore you see the scholars of al-Islam, they constantly say that when you go and seek knowledge, you are not just seeking the words, but you should be trying to seek from the manners of the teacher. And this leads us to a second point, which shows to us the demeanor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always constant. Regardless of whoever saw him or how long they remained with him, they always describe him with these specific characteristics: soft, kind, humble, truthful, honest. And therefore this shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man of great stature and great importance. Then we see that the Prophet saw in his students who came to visit him that they were becoming restless. After 20 days, they say, فَظَنَّ He saw in us that, and perceived in us that we had become homesick, that we have begun to miss our families and our people and our tribe. So it shows us an important lesson for those who are teaching, whether it's you're teaching your children or adults or whomever it may be, that you should be in the condition where you try to perceive the people that you are teaching, whether they understand or not, whether they have become lazy or not, whether they are enjoying the subject matter or not. It becomes your duty to try to make the lesson for them easy. So when you are teaching your children at home, my Muslim sister, be sure that you choose a proper time and a proper place. Make sure that you choose a time when they are not preoccupied with other things. If their favorite show is on or something of this nature, and they become accustomed to watching it, don't let that be the time that you bring them away and say, let's now read the Qur'an. Rather, it will be something that puts in their heart some enmity towards the Qur'an if you have begun to make them accustomed to that particular trait. So it's important that you choose the time periods, choose the times for your children and so forth. So the Prophet saw in them that their condition had changed and they wanted to return. It also shows us that the Prophet ﷺ never obligated anyone. He wasn't someone who would force them and would say, no, I am the messenger of Allah, it is better for you to remain with me than to remain with your families, who had not yet embraced Islam fully.